Log Talk Radio.
Hit my music.
Yeah, take a look. It's a new car.
Kyle's mom is a stupid bitch in D minor.
And we're off to a flying start as somebody hit my music. I said hit, not hide. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I am taking over briefly. But I'm not going to sit here and go into too many details about last week, so I'm going to openly apologize to our limited fan base, all six of you, for my cluster F-bomb tirade last week. Hopefully I'm going to be able to clean up this mess and put together a better show. So I've lined our panel with a handful of J's. Let's start with the big city and Jason Block.
And I would like to apologize, too, for my unprofessional behavior. One thing I did not want to do is be an unprofessional oaf, and that was what I was last week. So let's move on and talk what we like most, which is wrestling.
Also from the northeast side of the planet, Mr. Jim Williams.
I'm a mister now. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Good to be here.
And from the northwest corner of Ohio, specifically Toledo, Staff Boy Josh Henniger.
Good evening, everyone. And the main reason I wasn't on last week, besides Rob asking me to be off, is my internet, well, not my internet, but rather my hard drive, decided to crash.
Damn.
I had to reformat the darn thing over Friday and Saturday. It wasn't fun.
Well, sounds like you're back in order, or are we just using the phone tonight?
I am back in order. Hard drive's reformatted. Everything's good to go.
Good. Then I'm going to hit a button for you, Josh. I believe you were the one with the big news.
Yes, I was. Breaking news, this guy. Why,
yeah,
thank you. All right. If for some of you who have heard, China has, well, I'm not sure if it was reported last week or not, but China sold one of her female friends over the last week or so. Breaking news coming in from CBSNews.com via WrestleMania. Former WWE wrestler Joni China Lauer was admitted to the Cedars-Sinai Hospital this morning after being found by a maid passed out in a hotel room in the Los Angeles area. China had reportedly taken a lethal mixture of pills and alcohol. It's unknown at this time if this was a suicide attempt, but once China has detoxed, a 72-hour hold might be placed on her before she can leave. And this comes days after the TMZ report that China sold her a close friend in a hotel room out of the blue. Ooh, that
wow.
Was in at about 9:30 p.m. tonight.
How the mighty fall. It's a shame.
It's an absolute shame because once she left the WWE, she was basically, and I don't mean to use it, she's basically been the Lindsay Lohan of wrestling
mm-hmm.
women, because
mm-hmm.
she has had very visible alcohol problems and drug problems and mental problems, and, you know, she released the sex tape, and, you know, it's been really sad because she was an incredible talent and one of the, if you want to believe, one of the most dominant female performers of the Attitude Era.
Not bad for a guy
mm-hmm.
who was discovered in the gym by Triple H.
Mm-hmm. It's Jim Ross had something about this on his blog a couple of days ago. Kind of like when Tony Atlas was going through his problems, and WWE brought him back, you know, just to help him out. If only it was a similar situation, if it was a feasible situation in China's case, in Joni Lauer's case, it doesn't seem to be. And it's sad it goes down this road. I mean, often when you're out of the wrestling business, you are cast, for better or for worse, as a freak. And this, you know, she she's let everything get to her to this point. It's sad. It really is sad. And the app description, Jason, is spot on. She's the Lindsay Lohan of the wrestling community. Sad but true. Sad but oh so true.
And the one thing that people may or may not remember, and you could back me up on this, Nikki, is that every year Vince McMahon sends a letter to every former WWE and F employee and says, if you need help, we'll pay for it. And a lot of wrestlers have taken advantage of that. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, some managed to get their acts back together. Others continue to fall off the wagon. I'm looking at you, Jake the Snake.
However, I don't know if China will accept WWE's help. I'm pretty sure she'll be forced into a different rehab.
Mm-hmm.
One that is televised as well, but... Yeah. Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Hasn't she done that one already?
I thought she did do that one once.
She
did? Or was she on the Celebrity and Get Me Out of Here?
Well, she was...
Let me check.
Well, let's...
I think the show's permacanned, but who knows?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
It says here... Surreal Life she was on. Maybe that's what you're confusing.
Yeah,
that
was the one. That was the one.
Okay, my bad.
She was never on Celebrity Rehab.
But,
Just
sad stuff.
Sad stuff. Go on, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, speaking of television shows, this is a television show that I'd like to sum up into four words. I told you so. TNA Impact made the mistake of going nose-to-nose with Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers played out that they shouldn't have moved in the first place, especially when they changed their mind about not broadcasting on Thursdays and rebroadcasting their Monday shows on Thursdays. I think that most wrestling fans do watch both. There are a lot out there that do have their own solid opinions. Jim, do you think that it's because fans will watch both? Or
I think that's spot on. I think people want wrestling. They want wrestling, more of it, the merrier. I would think, the thing about the move to Monday night is more than anything else, it was poorly executed from day one. You initially are going to keep the replays, then you yank the replays because you really want to compete, then you have to put the replays back on because you know you can't compete. Now you're just getting out of Monday altogether and going with Thursday, which you should have stayed with. And I love how Tanae put it, trying to put a spin on it, of course. We heard from listeners. Our viewers demanded we want more Impact on Thursday. We're giving it to you. Jeez. Yeah. And you're a professor. This leads into Jason being the new spokesperson for Gee, That Crow Tastes Terrific, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I will honor with you. I will eat the crow. But you want to know something, though? This is not as bad of a move as people might think it to be. Because here's what I want. Here is what I think should happen at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you build two franchises, meaning Raw on Monday night and Impact on Thursday night, that is where the real competition will be. I was wrong, and yes, I'm admitting it on live internet podcasting. I was wrong. I thought TNA had the stuff to make it. But what happened was that it was so amorphous. In other words, once TNA got its act together, which it did, in my opinion, they've been producing some very decent stuff lately. It was too late. What they need to do is continue to do what they're doing on Thursday nights and rebuild the franchise on Thursday nights.
And they'll get there at some point. Josh, let me get your 2 cents on this. Do you think this all this bouncing around has also affected ratings as a whole?
To some extent, it has. It's not been a complete answer, but there has been some problem with them bouncing around from Thursday Money now back to Thursday. In fact, in my opinion, they may have pulled the plug a little too soon on the TNA project of Monday nights because of just 1 week's rating. But then again, I may be wrong because looking at the averages that I just calculated up for the 9 week period that Raw and Impact pretty much went head on. Raw scored a 3.29, Impact a 0.8.
Yeah.
Which kind of speaks volumes.
Did it ever break a 1, if I may ask?
It hit 1 quite a few times, but for every 1, for I believe, let me check here, number, let's see, a 1. It only broke the 1.0 barrier once, in all honesty. Twice if you fudge numbers up to round up.
And I also think one of their mistakes was going against Raw in a live tape format. Because if they went live every week, you'd have something to talk about. Maybe. But once you had a taped week, people knew they could go to Raw and then catch the replay on Thursday.
But even now, they're still going to be doing the live and tape format from week to week, which means there's going to be a yo-yoing of their. I think there's going to be a yo-yo of their stat of their ratings, because people are going to read spoilers and decide. It's kind of the problem that SmackDown has.
It's something you could get away with in, say, 1998, 1999, but in this day and age of the internet being king and everything, people find out they may or may not want to tune in. It's not exactly like that's going to put butt in the seats theorem that Tony Schiavone had back in the late 90s when Mankind won the title. People would tune in for that. When you know what's going to happen and you see what the product is, you may be less inclined to tune in.
Exactly.
It's all right. Very true. After all, TNA is, at least from what I remember, seen about 35% internet-based, or at least when it comes to ratings. Those who see the product beforehand, the spoilers and whatnot, they may not want to see it because of that, and that what usually routinely drives away ebbs and flows for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And now time for me to look up seeing what the live versus taped ratings are for TNA.
Get your abacus out, kids.
Go ahead and work on that, Josh. I'm gonna throw in a couple of other things about TNA. They've got a couple little side things going on. They have Christy Hemme. Is she actually taking time off to get married? Anyone?
She's getting married this weekend, so... Oh, sorry. Damn it. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. The other thing is, now that with the switch back to Thursday nights, it's my understanding that they're not going to have any new content until the 13th, which might be fortuitous, given that this coming Monday, hopefully, Jeff Hardy's trial will finally get underway unless somebody else decides to delay it even further. This actually works a little bit in TNA's favor. What do you think, Jason?
It might, because, you know, again, we will see what happens, because any publicity, especially with a trial and especially with the amount of drugs that Jeff Hardy was involved with potentially, it could be very bad, but remember what we talked about earlier. TNA always has an out with Jeff Hardy. If he's proven not guilty, you know, he'll still be the star. If he's guilty and has to spend time, they can void the contract. I don't think it's as much of a risk as people think. However, the publicity, not so much. You know, I think actually TNA should actually be commended for their flood relief drive, because for people who don't know, there's been a major flood in the Tennessee area over this past week. And TNA has, I believe, donated some gate or some ticket sales to the flood relief, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're probably digging in a little bit of that gate to keep their building afloat. Aren't they based in, they're based in Nashville.
Yeah.
But I haven't kept up. If the building should still be okay if they're in the right part of the state.
But you know what though? I don't think that this is, you know, everyone's going to call, you know, Raw the winner and TNA the loser. TNA did not lose here. I think that this was a learning experience for them. And it was not anything that, you know, again, they have to go back to the basics. What they're doing is that they're, I think, which we'll talk about later, I think they're focusing on other people besides Hogan, per se. In some respects.
To some extent. Josh, you got those numbers for us yet?
Yes, I do. Okay, if I got the format right down, it was live tape, all the way from beginning to end.
Okay.
Live scored an average of a 0.9.
Okay.
Tape scored an average of 0.68. 24% plus lower ratings on the taped shows compared to the live ones. That's how big of an effect it has on the good old, how do I say it, spoilers.
So I think at this point Dixie needs to start digging in her pockets and try to make TNA live every week, which I don't know how much the talent's going to go for that, since the whole part of the reason a lot of people are down there is because of the easier schedule. They only have to fly in, was it twice a month now? And
yeah,
I mean, guys like RVD, who flies in from California, does the two shows, and then goes home. Or if they have him for house shows, especially now that he's champion, you know, he has to take care of all that. But, you know, that's a lot. That would be a handful of extra travel for him.
Yeah, I thought they were taping at 1.3 impacts over the course of a weekend or something like that, or over the course of a week at one point, maybe towards the end of the Monday run.
I thought before the Monday run they were doing enough to cover 3 weeks worth of shows.
Yeah.
And then when they decided to try Monday nights, they were essentially doing two shows. That would give them enough time to get both. But for the foreseeable future, it's still going to be live 1 week and taped to the next, which means it's going to drag their numbers down a little bit. But if they put on good enough television, people read the spoilers and say, hey, I want to know more about that. And they'll tune in on Thursdays. But it's just something to keep an eye on.
Definitely.
So from there, I'm going to scoot north. And don't tell me I closed that window, and I did.
Do you need me to respond?
No. That's nothing wrong with the switchboard or anything. It was regarding the quarter one numbers. Jason was kind enough to get those for me.
I've got them in front of me as well.
Oh, okay, Josh. There's a reason why they call you Stat Boy. The fact that the quarter one numbers for this year are significantly higher than first quarter last year has got to make Vince pretty happy, even if he lost some buy rate when it came to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Show me some of those
actually,
numbers.
All right, the numbers are in, and here we go. Royal Rumbles got a total of 462,000 buys, up from 450,000 buys from last year's Rumble, a gain of about 2.6%. Elimination Chamber, which was No Way Out last year, got 285,000 buys, which is up from 272,000 buys from No Way Out of last year, a gain of about 4.6%. And now the big telling one, and the one that Vince should be just slightly worried about, but not horrifically yet. WrestleMania 26 only got 885,000 worldwide buys, which is down from 970,000 buys from WrestleMania 25, which is a loss of 8.76%.
Okay, but there are some good numbers. You do have the revenue numbers for last year to this year, from quarter to quarter.
I didn't write those down.
Ah, that's not the numbers.
Because I only see the buy rate.
Ah, it's okay. Because I have those, and I will pull those up.
Thank you.
Because the numbers are not that bad. Okay. Let's see here. In the 3 months ended from March 31st, 2010, their net revenues were $138.7 million, up from $107.8 million in the last quarter of first quarter 2009, which is a jump of about 33%. Thereabouts. It's up $31.1 million. Try this on for size. North America went up $23 million this past quarter, quarter to quarter. Europe about $2.9 million. Asia Pacific 1.6. Latin America $5 million. Or is it? Yeah, $5 million.
Yeah.
And
Olé.
Yes, OA, to March 09's 1.7 million. Live event revenues were up $8 million, $26 million to $18 million. They were, believe it or not, with only 13 less events, 87 to 75. Okay.
And I think I know where some of this bonus revenue is coming up due to some of WWE's marketing strategies when it comes to these shows. Most of us have seen the local ads when it shows up when WWE comes into your area. What is the first thing they say? With tickets starting at $10
or $15,
$25. And people go, ooh, and they go check it out. And that's something they've never done before.
And you know what? And do you want to know what has also, I believe, contributed to this success? And we as wrestling fans hate it. It's
PGification.
You got it. Because both Nikki and I don't know if you, Jim, or Josh, you have, but we've attended events. I was at the Raw, the Volcano Raw. My God, there were tons of families there. It has become a family-friendly show. And they're dropping money on souvenirs, as you could see by the numbers. The only thing that I think is down is the video sales, correct? I believe.
Yeah, down a million, 1.6 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they really didn't have any major of, huge numbers for it.
They didn't have any big box sets come out. They don't, they just got their pay-per-views. We don't have any special compilations of individuals.
I mean, the only thing was Heart and Soul and the Shawn Michaels My Journey DVD.
And they're going to factor more into quarter two than quarter one anyway. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But believe it or not, I think, and again, hopefully I'm not over-speaking too much here, I think Vince should be very happy with these numbers. Especially.
Any time you make more money than you did year to year, you've got to be happy.
That's what it comes down to.
It's business.
Right. Now, I'm going to point out something rather amusing that Vince said, and he's kind of grumbling about the buy rates are because more people are getting together at individual residences to watch the pay-per-views. He feels like he's losing money that way. Well, Vince, dude, $40 to $50 a pay-per-view, we're going to do that. You drop it back down to $25. You might see some more single buys.
Yeah.
You might get that money on single buys.
Very true.
For $25, I'll fix me a tub of popcorn and plop on a couch with the cats.
How many cats do you have again?
Two.
Okay, I just making sure there. No, but you
all of a front chancer.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Nikki. And again, we talked about this, of course, during the show, right around the time we were all predicting buy rate numbers. The other factor why it was down so much probably was because the night before, a lot of people were plunking 54, 55, 60 bucks on a UFC fight. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, just a middling one, if I remember right?
Yeah.
UFC 111?
Yeah, that was George, that was Russ St. Pierre against somebody.
Versus Dan Hardy.
Yep.
Dan Hardy.
Yep, and it was not a very good fight. And
Vince still doesn't think that UFC fans and wrestling fans overlap.
Well, he is going senile.
I can sum this up real quick.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, it also comes down to the philosophy, and this is what I call liberal economics. It's the idea that when, say, a mass transit, say, in New York City is losing shortfall, what do? They raise the tolls. And what it does, it causes less people to go on the roads, not more. So what happens is that by having an average of, what, $44.95 a pay-per-view on WWE, and especially now $54.95 and charging $10 more for HD, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. That's why pay-per-view, you know, are down. And that's why WrestleMania was down.
Exactly.
So, you know, Vince shouldn't complain. His pockets are nicely stocked, and he should be very happy with the way the product has been hitting the air. This week has been some very intriguing television with the settling down of not only the draftees, but even the NXT guys getting a peek around the corner when we get a little showcase out of Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett on Raw this past Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite happy to see those two go at it. But then again, I have a soft spot for Barrett, knowing that I've met him in the past. And Daniel Bryan versus Batista, Jim. You know, what do you think? My jaw was on the floor. I had so much fun watching this match.
Oh, just great match. Just a great match. It kind of makes me wonder, though, and this is something brought up on one of the websites. It kind of defeated the purpose of one of the challenges from a couple of weeks ago on NXT, though, did it not? A little bit?
Depends, because one of the things that these guys are being graded on is strength of schedule. And if a pro still chooses to bring his rookie to the show and throw him in the ring, that's the pro's prerogative.
Thank you, Woody Page. You got to look at the schedule. I'm sorry. But you're right. You're right.
Because
I was barking out a little bit because, you know, I was thinking, you know, Daniel Bryan must be going, oh, I'm in the ring with Batista. And Batista's going, no, I'm in the ring with Daniel Bryan. <You know>?
Exactly.
You know,
what the hell is this?
Wait a minute, this little punk can wrestle? Yeah, exactly. No,
and pretty soon Batista's going to be saying, oh, I'm in the ring at all? Wait a minute.
Yeah. No. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch because, you know, there was a point where you just say to yourself, oh, my God, he could do this. And it was good. It was good.
And I really think Barrett made Cena work. And Cena now and then does need to work. Boop, 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 boop.
Yes.
So, you know, I found it really cool, and I think it's a good thing for the NXT rookies, you know, that especially since, you know, Dear Miz and Skip Sheffield, do you have this funny feeling of deja vu when you work on Tuesday night?
Huh?
My God, none of you said.
No.
Huh?
Mr. Mizanin and Mr. Skip Sheffield were part of the SmackDown Tough Enough in 2004.
Oh!
That part I wasn't sure what you meant originally by choosing this, because I was thinking ECW. Tough Enough.
Well, it just amuses me that it has turned into Tough Enough. The obstacle course was goofy.
It needed Double Dare music, and go find it on YouTube. Go find it on YouTube. NXT equals
Shad
Double
Mosher.
Dare. Yep.
Stick your fingers in there. Grab the flag.
Oh, God. This isn't diet. Anyway,
And they had Stryker in the Mark Summers wardrobe almost, so, you know, you got that going for you.
But by the way, I loved, I think you missed one of the, I don't know if you discussed it for the last couple of seconds, I got to flip off, the fact that The Miz and Jericho might be a tag team.
Probably is tag team.
I was getting there because
I'm sorry.
No, I was getting there because they do have a mutual interest, and that's the Big Show. It's kind of convoluted. They want to go after the Hart Dynasty, win the tag titles, go to SmackDown, and beat the holy hell out of the Big Show. He's going to stand there and laugh while the two of them pound at his midsection, and he just does a double knockout the first time they meet.
Pretty much.
So
the big question would be, what would the team name be? Mizico? Jeremiz?
Jeremiz?
No.
Jeremy's. I'm thinking Ego Incorporated.
Sounds a lot less kosher than Jeremy's, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Because basically, if you listen to the mic commentary when they were watching the Hart Dynasty,
mm-hmm.
It was classic because they were basically like, anything you can do, I can do better. You know, anything I can do better than you, you know. And it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And with a tag team coming together, we have one that, granted, came apart 2 or 3 years ago, but only now are they finally getting a chance to go at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
As Rated RKO starts to butt heads in the main event talk segment, Edge is cutting Edge, where he brings Mr. Orton out and says, you know what, we kicked ass as a team. Orton's not interested and did the greatest thing ever in his long and storied career, didn't say a bloody word.
Yay!
That's a win.
What's the name of that sound again?
Call Win, I think, or Sale of the Century or something.
I'll find it. Give me a second, because we do
Big Win.
That. Big Win? This will do for now.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was the before Brady got his. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, I found it. All right. I'm getting the hang of the board, so...
But by the way, Brady took that RKO very well. He
hit like a champ.
He didn't zonk out, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he got knocked out, which was great.
So, apologies, Mr. Brady, that you really didn't get to do much.
You didn't get to choke a bitch, Wayne.
You almost got to choke Santino.
Which was pretty funny. The line of the night, though, was when Santino said, I used to see you on ECW. There were only... I was one of the 7 fans who watched. That was... I was like, oh, really?
Damn you, Santino.
Yeah.
Tough not to laugh at that, though. Come on.
Now. And of course, Wayne Brady calling Regal from the House of Slytherin. That was great stuff.
That brought a tear to my eye.
Yes, it did.
Let's see. What other nonsense was going on Monday night? Ah, yes. Ted DiBiase Jr. wants a Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Can we give him a Virgil? Does he want the real one? Because he might do it for $20.
If that.
And a fat burger in and out.
Okay, but seriously, Josh, you've been kind of quiet in your corner. If there was anybody on the roster right now that we could drag over and hand over to Ted Jr., who do you think would make it to Virgil right now?
It would take a few months, or actually as soon as next week or the week after. But there's somebody on that roster on NXT named Michael Tarver. Michael Tarver is pretty much playing right into it. Only thing that's missing is the red and white boxing trunks.
Are pretty easy to scare up. Jim, what do you think?
I like that. I'm going to steal it. I like the concept of Tarver being Virgil. That makes a lot of sense to me, actually.
Jason, want to sweep?
Yeah, I do. Because with all due respect, Tarver sucks in the ring. But it would be great because eventually it would get Tarver over because once Tarver snaps, he'll be Mr. 1.2 or whatever his number is.
1.9, sir.
Yeah, and just knock him out. And then that would get him over.
So it sounds like we're all on the same page that Tarver's going to get booted off of NXT next week.
More or less.
I mean, they're not going to boot off Daniel Bryan because everyone wants Daniel Bryan to be there.
Except Miz.
Except Cole. Yes.
And Cole, but Cole's opinion means nothing.
Well, of course.
And Cole, yes, I absolutely mean it.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Gayest two words in the history of our industry.
Jim, go find a random NXT and find one of Cole's rants.
Oh, I definitely will. I definitely will and make that a snippet or an open for, yes.
So,
no problem.
Let's see. Okay, finally, with Raw's main event picture set, sort of, John Cena had the stipulation in mind and probably got kicked clean out of his head when Sheamus crashed the ring. Let's see, Jim, this little boot to the head, do you think that'll rattle something in place for John Cena and he'll demand a triple threat, Sheamus getting involved?
Wouldn't mind it. It would definitely break up the, what we've been stuck with as of late. Ooh, Batista, ooh, Cena, oh my. Not immediately, though. I don't think it's going to immediately happen, though.
Okay. Josh, how about, what do you think of Loser Leaves Raw, since Batista's been...
Loser Leaves Raw?
Or Loser
that
Leaves
would
the
actually,
WWE?
Loser Leaves the WWE is exactly what I was thinking for about a week or so now. I do believe that will happen. Batista loses... Sayonara and stuff. I really don't have much to say about that because, in all honesty, I hate Batista's guts.
Thank you.
Well, I can have Jason fill in the blanks for that. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, Batista has been pretty much shouting behind the scenes that he's done. That he wants, he wants to go into, he wants to be a thespian, a.k.a. an actor. So for those of you in Rio Linda,
love the enunciation, very nice.
Yes. So whatever stipulation happens, Batista's going to lose and get out. Okay. And then you're going to have the Cena Sheamus in the title picture. But you want to know something? I think Edge and Randy Orton are in there too. You've got a nice mix of people in there. I mean, look. Again, Randy Orton, Sheamus will be interesting. Edge, Sheamus. I think Edge is now being put in the Austin tweener role, kind of.
Yeah, I can see that.
More towards the heel aspect of stuff.
I'm seeing the Orton Edge thing for me reminds me a lot of Rock Jericho from days gone by, where they had a few going on where you were sitting there pulling your hair out in front of the TV going, "Will somebody please turn heel?" And stay heel.
Well, yeah, that's, That's a very good analogy because right now, quite frankly, even though they built Orton to be a face, he's still a tweener to some extent. He almost beat the crap out of John Cena a couple of weeks ago in the ring. He almost hit him with an RKO, is what I'm trying to say, I should say, giving him the Viper-type personality where, hey, he could go either way. He's a switch hitter, is what I'm trying to say. That's not the best use of terms. But you know what I'm getting at.
There are so many ways I could say something about that, but I'm...
Please don't.
Be nice. I'm going to be nice. No, I'm going to be nice. I mean, I'm just going to leave it to the fact that, you know, it was Orton that hung out with two other guys.
Baby,
Hey, what some people do in the locker room is none of my business. It's just Josh Matthews.
Okay, now to get the brain bleach out, let's take a peek at this past SmackDown.
Yes.
20 minutes to play with it, and to be honest, it really only focused on two things: the whole situation with the Intercontinental title, and Jack Swagger, Big Show, and their match coming up at Over the Limit. As everybody has noticed with this show, we're not doing recaps because all six of you who were listening, go watch the shows. Trust me, you will be entertained.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was seven.
That's okay.
How dare you berate that person from Walla Walla, Washington?
Exactly. Who didn't take the left turn in Albuquerque, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say Newport News, but that's the wrong side of the country. Drew McIntyre essentially finally, well, Seidelman would say Drew McIntyre finally showed a modicum of personality in the fact that he beat the high holy hell out of Matt Hardy. And if you watch that fight closely, he did get in a lot of headshots, which prompted half the ref corps and then Gurria and IRS and Steamboat and finally Teddy Long with the microphone out there, suspending him, stripping him, and finally firing him and throwing him out of the building. Drew, if you wanted time off for your wedding, all you had to do was ask.
Or was he legitimately getting married?
Yes.
He and Tiffany are formally getting married. This is the real reason he's been taken off the show for a little bit.
Oh, you mean Tiffany from WWE?
The same.
Yep, Taryn Terrell.
Oh, lucky him.
Damn right.
Lucky her.
Yeah.
Well.
That's my side of it.
I
understand. At one point, wasn't Taryn Terrell supposed to be marrying Mr. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone?
Oh, sorry.
Who?
Carlton Banks.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, the host of Catch 21. No, well, this is why he's going to be off. Okay,
right.
I did not know why.
Well, there was a couple of speculations. The big one that blew up on the boards was that he had gotten a wellness break, which makes sense. That's another way. You know, that was something else to take a look at. But nothing had been announced. And hey, Jim, is it just me or have we not heard any wellness announcements of late?
We haven't, and that's kind of a blessing in disguise, is it not? I mean, that's all you ever hear, bad news anymore in the wrestling business, so... Excuse me. I need to get in the wellness thing.
It's just my suspicions are up. I'm just thinking maybe they're making those announcements, and maybe they're just not doing them very loud.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's the questioning, well, you know, maybe these things are going on, but they're behind closed doors. I mean, this is the wrestling business, for goodness sake, so.
And none of the major sheets have, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. I'm just looking to see that there has been no, like, whispers or anything like that of all that stuff.
So now, you know, Drew can go off and have a very nice wedding. He and Tiffany should be very happy together. They will be a gorgeous couple.
Nikki?
There's no justice in this world.
Already been married. They got married, I believe, either on Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, okay. So this is off for the honeymoon. So they're off on a happy honeymoon.
Right. They'll be, well, Tiffany will be back in 2 or 3 weeks. Drew's going to Raw by the looks of things, unless Vicky can reverse the decision made by Teddy Long.
Oh, no, 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 no. He's not going to use Vicky. He's going to use Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Point taken. He'll be back
and,
for 3 weeks, though, yeah.
Right. He'll be gone for a little bit, but when he comes back, he's going to have Vince with him. And Teddy's going to be in some very, very hot water. That's why he was so nervous when he was talking to Josh. You know, crap,
right.
I fired Vince's favorite boy. God help
mm-hmm.
me when it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? And Drew, oh, by the way, while you're in your honeymoon, I'm going back to WrestleCraft forums, and I'm going to go find that picture of you in the Rico suit and publish it a few more places.
Oh, my.
I thought you would actually have that picture of him from last week in just his long hair and a pair of jeans and put that on your wallpaper.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
All right, time to look at some Stacey Giesler pictures to get these thoughts out of my mind.
Woohoo! So, Teddy decided to put something together, and it's not terribly slipshod. He grabbed a bunch of his mid-card and said, hey, let's have a quick tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So we get Ziggler and Kofi in an excellent match.
Yes.
And also, during that match, Stryker actually made a statement that kind of shout-outed to Ring of Honor. Specifically, one Prince Nana.
Yes. I heard that, and I did a double take at the television.
What did he say? What was the actual quote?
Go ahead, Jeff. Or Jim, whoever was saying this.
I don't have an exact quote in front of me, but something very close. He mentioned how Kofi wants to win the title and take back the title to Ghana, West Africa, where Prince Nana will be waiting.
Ooh, wow, okay. Holy cow.
$5 that went clean over Vince's head.
Yeah, I know it has.
You know Vince doesn't listen to post-production.
And Stryker isn't aware in sight, so he's not going to question it.
Right.
Exactly.
If he doesn't acknowledge TNA, what makes him want to acknowledge Ring of Honor?
We were also treated to Christian and Cody Rhodes in a very solid match.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was great
yeah.
stuff. Oh, that was so
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Heath Slater was not a factor, which is a good thing as a face. You watch and learn, and you watch and learn, young Grasshopper. Where is he? Fourth, third or fourth in the... He's fairly high up on the NXT ratings.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the upper half. He's on the... what do they say in soccer when you're on the bottom half?
He's not
relegation. He's not in the relegation side, no.
Okay. So, actually, no, I lie. There is something else we need to talk about, and that is Rey Mysterio butting heads with Punk again.
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
In a very rather extended and well thought out promo, Rey Mysterio has acknowledged that the straight edge movement is a great idea. He's just not too keen on Punk Jesus. He even made the deal. Hey, I'll join you right now if you'll let me shave your head. And Punk's like, no.
yeah.
No. No, I like my hair. You know, that kind of thing. So we've essentially got hair versus loyalty for these two at Over the Limit.
And I'm going to make a prediction for this right now. Punk's going to keep his hair, because that would be the better story. And I think Ray Ray's going to lose that one. I really do.
Now, I've heard that there's an on and off rumors pop up on the board that Punk's got a receding hairline. Anybody got anything on that? Because that's usually the excuse to get your head shaved. I point directly at Kurt Angle.
Yes, exactly. Never really cared to notice. I mean, he might. I don't know.
I don't pay attention to that. I didn't pay attention to it when it came to Kurt. But,
right.
You know, I made the conclusion that they were going to shave Kurt's head because there was no way that Edge was going to go running around bald. Half of the female fan base would keel over dead.
Oh, my God. Who is this guy? Oh, my God. It's like Hulk Hogan-esque. Oh, my God.
But I was very impressed with the promo. People aren't real keen on Mysterio's promos anyway, whether it's because he sounds like a 12-year-old or he has the diction of a 12-year-old.
Points taken, though. Yeah.
It was very good. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Swagger is doing his level best to make sure that I want him to get his lights punched out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
He's doing such a great job of being a total,
douchebag. Say it. He's a total douchebag.
Say it. Say it.
Yeah, he's being a total douchebag, but that's the beauty of it. It's like,
right.
But the funny thing is, what the brilliance of it is, everything he's saying is 100% true.
Yeah.
I wanted to look up the pass, punt, and kick one. That sounds really stupid, but if I get bored this week, which is not going to happen, I would love to look that. That's the one that always sticks out to me. Go ahead.
It's like, hey, you know, I was a wrestling champ. Hey, it reminds me of, it reminds me a little bit of also, like, when Chris Jericho was reading the list of 1,000 holds. To a point.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, if you remember,
I got that vibe when they did that today, when they let him list his accolades through a commercial. All he needed was a book or the long scrolling piece of paper to go with it.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is that when he's doing such a good job, if you want him to get his lights punched out, that's it. He's doing a great job. You know?
I think you got to give credit to the WWE also. I mean, the guy isn't exactly going to be known as the greatest speaker of all time because of the impediment that he has, but they're giving him the form and they're playing to that and playing to the caveat he has. They're doing a good move.
Mm-hmm.
More power to him.
Oh, and Staff Boy, did you notice that Big Show pulled up some continuity? It wasn't the one I was looking for, but he threw some continuity in when he was doing commentary.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. I actually have the TV not on mute at this time. He talked about breaking the ring.
That was so
awesome. Yes!
That was so awesome. And he said, the line, Vince made me pay for it.
That's right.
Yep.
I almost missed the line.
That was great.
What I was hoping for was that I noticed at the beginning of Swagger's match with Kane, that Kane was taking him to the mat, was Matt Rafflin right with him. That's the surprise.
Catch Kane, yeah.
Yeah, when he finally got up. I was waiting for them to say something. Show did acknowledge that Kane was his tag partner, but I was hoping he would have referred to the night the two of them Matt wrestled.
Yes, by the way, I love that match. When they wrestled for like the first 5 minutes and actually Matt wrestled, I nearly had a wrestlergasm there because it was beautiful to watch. It was awesome how good they were. Matt
and everybody who was there had their jaws on the floor because they've never, what the hell are these 2 7-foot?
What is this? This isn't wrestling. No. What the heck is this? It was old school. It was vintage. Literally.
Yeah.
Don't hit the sound. Please don't. I'm sorry, guys.
Which one? No. I'm not going to hit it. I won't hit any Michael Cole sounds, I promise.
Yeah, but the SmackDown was, and of course when Big Show with his 25 yards of suit chokeslam Swagger, not through the table, but sort of on the table. But was so, what I thought was so beautiful, if you noticed, he took the Mac, the $1,500 Mac laptop, and placed it gently on the chest.
Yes!
Laptop. And he said, I'm not
going to... You don't frick with a MacBook, brother. Come on now.
My hashtag partner's going to break this. I'm going to get it out of the way now.
He's
just going to
get it out of the way
here,
yeah.
Yeah, he's just like...
He used a freaking website on it, that's all. You know, get it out of the way.
But yes, it was a MacBook. Like, I'm not going to pay $2,000 for, you know, to butt the computer.
For the bloody ring. And that's...
Well, the ring was enough. I mean, you know.
The ring was five figures or better. What was the other thing? Oh, just a little thing. I don't know if I saw this right or not, but Swagger was an idiot and was standing in the corner when Kane did his ring post pyro.
He was towards the far right corner, yeah.
And I noticed Kane was looking over his shoulder a lot. Like, dumbass, why are you standing that close to the corner?
Yeah.
We already set you.
Feel the flames.
We're on fire. Now we're going to set you on fire. We can't do that. You know, that's two champions in 3 months.
Cue Tony Schiavone here to say, now it's time to feel the heat.
Oh God.
Yes.
You know, no, we do not want you. You set my brother on fire. I'm not sending you on fire. No.
You know, if I was going to do this, I was going to set Jericho on fire. Wait a minute. No, it wasn't Jericho's fault. Damn it.
I think we may be going a little bit into overtime because we've got a little TNA to talk about too.
You know, we got a couple of points of TNA to talk about. We hit the big ones though about the show moving, Christy Hemme, Jeff Hardy,
new tag team.
Oh well, I was getting there about Inc. I was gonna also throw in a real quick bit about Victoria/Tara and the fact
yes.
that she's getting ready to hang it up. She blasted them on MySpace. I don't have the blog in mm-hmm. front of me. And then they booked book her for house shows. Now, what me is where I read about this, the next note was, we bet that she's going to win the Knockouts title at Sacrifice. Just because
like you're getting it from 18 different directions, seemingly.
Right, uh-huh. Which is, you know, it's all goofy.
Now,
put together a tag team with Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore, a pair of misfits now known as Inc. for good reason.
Yeah.
Between whatever Shannon Moore paints on himself, aside from his already insane tattoos, and Jesse Neal, the mini Tomko, let's see. Somebody told Joe to go kill people again.
I'm loving the fact that Joe is being booked as the monster he always should have been. You
mm-hmm.
know,
not the gentle giant.
No. Oh no.
He just wants his show back, and I don't blame him.
Yes.
And the only other thing that I was gonna dig on, but I promised that I wasn't going to do this. The fact that their main event was also a talking main event with Hogan and Sting. The less said, the better. I'm going to sit here and bite my tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, you know, they had the spoilers out for next week. If you're a fan of Hogan and Sting, you ain't going to see much of them. So that's a positive.
That's something to look forward to. I actually will be available next Thursday, hopefully, to sit down and watch Impact. I missed it this
week
because I kind of sacked out. Well, we are under a minute, so Jason, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say that I'm going to be throwing my hat in the ring to try and become the ring announcer for the MXW wrestling promotion, which is the revamped Joel Gertner promotion. Their show, by the way, will be May 16th at Toad's Place. I believe it's mxwrestling.net. Let me double quickly check that. But it's the show is called Come What May, and I would definitely love to see you guys there. I mean, you know, it's going to be a fun show. Joel Gertner is doing the first one in a long time.
All right. Unfortunately, I can't get anybody else to plug because we're at the last 7 seconds.
I'm plugging my ears.
That'll work. We're out of here, guys. Thank you for coming.
Good night.
Good night.
Yes, thanks much.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. This went well.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
So, thanks again, and hopefully we can keep doing it this way.
Hopefully.
I'm out.
Seacrest out, too.
Bye.